Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
47-yard attempt near hash. Chris Kula will hold for Sam Ficken. Put down. The kick by Ficken is on its way. The kick by Ficken is gone for the lead. Put down. Kick by Ficken is on its way. The kick by Sam Ficken is gone. And the Nittany Lions take the lead. 9-7 with 90 seconds to go in the half. Third and three at the 8 of Maryland. Near side, Gesicki and Lewis. Far side, James and Hamilton in the slot. Hackenberg takes it. Throws. Far corner, reaching up in the end zone. He's there. Jesse James, touchdown, Penn State. Long far side. Trips to the near side, including Diggs in the slot. Shotgun for Brown. Four-man front, they rush four. Back he goes. In trouble. Tyrone Smith, down he goes. Back at the 25-yard line with help from Nassib. And the Penn State Nittany Lions go to backup linemen and they attack. Tagula put down. The kick is on its way by Sam Ficken. The kick by Ficken is good. And the Nittany Lions take the lead with 6:52 to go on the fourth field goal of the day by Sam Ficken. It is 19-17, Penn State.
Didn't finish that way, which we'll talk about in a few moments. As Maryland won it 20-19 on Brad Craddock's field goal at the end. With 51 seconds to go. Now they play Indiana this week. Steelers won big last night. Looked great doing it again. Old Man River, James Harrison, in the final burst of his career, is playing well.
Old Man River.
Well, this look, he is what the... How many guys are older than he is in the league?
I don't. There's not many. I don't know for sure, but there can't be many. Maybe five.
No, but he played. He played well again last night.
I think they're all
well.
Kickers, you know, too.
He had to revert. Well, Peyton Manning's older than he is, and so is Brady. But you know. But again, the last three, 4 minutes, he had to revert to his old form and get in the middle and jaw with people. It's like, you know what? Appreciate what you got. Get back in the huddle. All right, there's a reason why you've been fined more than anybody in the history of the league.
I just think he's a charitable guy.
I mean, Suggs embarrassed himself last night. Doomerville embarrassed himself last night. I mean, the hit that Suggs made on Blunt, to me, was the kind of play you get thrown out on. I mean, that's where they lost control of the game. They just sort of thrown him out.
Is that the spot where the referee went to both coaches? Like, I think it was. I think Collinsworth was that later. Even Collinsworth talked about it being like a baseball game.
It was later, but they on the hit, he should have been thrown out for a play like that. So, you know, he's going for the legs. He's already down, or in the process of going down. Whatever. I mean, that to me was a play they should have thrown him out on. You know, get control of the game. I mean, take the major instigator and get him the heck out of there. And Suggs was the major instigator. John Harbaugh doesn't like it. I'd look at him and say, I'm sorry, but if you aren't going to control him, I will. He's done. I mean, he could have hurt Blunt.
Well, that's career-ending. I mean, that's a career-ending injury there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd have thrown him out. Roethlisberger was great. We'll talk to Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com about all this. Later in the show, also Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, to talk about Penn State football, and we have Joe Susan, the head football coach at Bucknell. Last night, they did retire Joe Green's jersey. I don't know if they did it at halftime, postgame, someplace. They, some point, they retired it.
Halftime, I believe.
And halftime, and of course, a lot of emotion in the stadium for a guy that, in the Chuck Knoll era, was the first guy he drafted when... And they went 1-13, by the way, his first year. But here's a guy who was there for the 1-13 year, and help lead them to glory of 4 Super Bowls.
I don't know if I'm going to make it. You know, when Mr. Rooney and Arthur Second told me that they were going to retire my jersey and put me in the hallowed category of the first Mr. Steeler, Ernie Stockman, my knees were weak and I just could not believe it. So I just want to thank them for thinking so much of me. I could not have written a better script than be a Pittsburgh Steeler and have the journey in football the way I have. I've been blessed. I have my family up here with me, my mother, my brother, my sister, my kids, and 7 grandkids. I'm a blessed man. And as I said earlier, we got the Steeler Nation all over the place. Thank you for wearing those number 75. If I get an opportunity, I may finish them off for you.
There you go. They certainly kept 5 players over from the Bill Austin era to the Chuck Noll era, one of them being, of course, Andy Russell, who's been a great friend of the show. Joe Green was the first of the draftable Steelers that set the cornerstone for the Steeler 4 Super Bowl championships in 6 years. I consider that to be the greatest of the pro football dynasties, even greater than the Packers winning 5 and 7 for Vince Lombardi. The reason being is that the rules changed in the middle of the run. Steelers won the first 2 under the old rules. They won the last 2 when they put in the brand new passing rules. Contact 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, not allowed. More freedom in the pass game. The Steelers reshaped their entire team as to how they attacked offensively while still playing well enough defensively with Joe Green, Jack Ham, Jack Lambert, Mel Blunt, who was outstanding, Mike Wagner, you know, L.C. Greenwood, guys like that. The forever stable Ernie Holmes. All right, next. And you look at that dynasty because they had to do it with the same personnel, essentially, but under 2 sets of rules. I've always looked at the Steelers winning 4 times in 6 years as the most impressive of the dynasties. And he was the first draftable cornerstone of all of that. And to all the fans wearing the number 75 jerseys last night, very nice. I would sincerely hope that as time goes that, you know, you actually wear players are on the current team, but that's just my opinion. So can't live too much of the past. But it was a great moment last night. And they're playing great. Right now, the 3 best teams in the AFC are New England, Denver, and Pittsburgh. At the moment, you'd have to put New England 1, Denver 2, and Pittsburgh 3. And the problem the Steelers would have, to me, would be winning at Denver or winning at New England. I think it would be a tall order to win at each other. And the Patriots defensively would be a tough matchup for the Steelers because they play that press coverage. That would be a very tough matchup. I mean, if they start belting receivers of the line of scrimmage, they'll struggle. And in the NFC, Arizona's the best team. A lot of people don't want to believe it, but they're the best team.
Well, I didn't believe it until last week.
I've been telling everyone. I said it a month ago.
I know you have.
And yeah. You realize that Arizona is 17-7 their last 24 games, right?
No, I didn't. I mean, I know they've done well, but I didn't realize they've done that well.
When they beat Seattle at Seattle last year, they were the only team to win in Seattle last year. That win was not in September. That win was in December when the Seahawks were allegedly the hot team, and Arizona went in there and beat them. They were a 10-6 football team last year. They're 7-1 now. They just don't have the star power everybody else has outside of Larry Fitzgerald. They don't have stars on that team. And they're not in a major market. They are not, you know, they made their Monday night football appearance. Oh, by the way, they slapped them on Monday night back in the second Monday night game of the opening weekend of the season. On Monday night doubleheader night. Yeah, we'll throw them in there then. Really? Teams on the rise in the NFL right now would be Pittsburgh, New England, Miami. They're on the rise. On the way down, San Diego, Baltimore. Kansas City's not doing badly either. In the NFC, Arizona, obviously. On the way down, San Francisco. Maybe on the way back up. Well, what's going on there is that you can't lose Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis and be great, but it'll go back to, I don't think you're the one they said this to. Somebody had asked me Friday about, they were asking me about their fantasy team, about starting Kaepernick, and I said, be careful, I wouldn't start him against St. Louis. And they said, why is that? It's because the Rams, for whatever reason, match up brilliantly with the 49ers.
Yeah, but defensively, I didn't think they played that bad. I mean, I didn't watch the whole game. I saw bits and pieces of it, but I thought the 49ers defensively played okay.
Yeah, they did. But I said, they asked me about Kaepernick.
But you were talking about Kaepernick. Okay.
He doesn't match up with the Rams. The Rams defensively play the 49ers offense really, really well. They have better matchups. So.
Well, the 49ers just aren't scoring points.
No, they are not scoring points. And they struggle with the play clock. I think they struggle with decision-making. I think they're just struggling with who they are right now. Look, Kaepernick needs to carry the ball as a runner 7 to 10 times a game. As a runner. He's your X factor. I also know that he's going to take hits. But he is your X factor that I think you have to use as your X factor. And get him running and tell him that you're the sideline, as it was with Franco Harris, is your best friend. There's nothing wrong with going out of bounds. Nothing wrong with going out of bounds.
Who is the team right now at the middle part of the season, Steve, that you think has to do an immediate about-face if they want to even make the playoffs?
San Diego and Dallas.
Dallas. That's interesting.
Well, Dallas didn't win their last two games.
True. I mean, that's a good point. I look at 6-3 and...
Yeah, they lost to Washington and they lost to Arizona. They're not in first place right now.
Have the Jets been eliminated from the playoffs for next year yet?
The Jets were eliminated in 1969.
Has their head coach been eliminated as of yet? That'll happen before the year's out. I don't see Rexy recovering from this one.
Well, next half hour, Joe Susan, Bucknell Football, as we continue on a day where we're sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory Emporia Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. A few moments, we'll talk to Joe Susan, the Bucknell football coach. Later, Rich Scarcello, Reading Eagle, and Dave Bryan, SteelersDepot.com. Full show today. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to PurdyInsurance.com. Can't say enough great things about the Purdy family and about Purdy Insurance and how they take such great care of the Valley and their customers. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll get to Penn State football later with Rich Scarcella. And do the Steelers win with a second consecutive six-touchdown performance by Ben Roethlisberger last night? We'll get to Bucknell football in a few moments as well with Joe Susan. And Bucknell is back home again, which is good news after the big overtime win over Lafayette. Great one. Now, Fordham, it's going to be a short week. It's going to be Friday night at 6:30, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I'll be interested to see. Now, I know they don't do a ton of full pad things this time of year, so it'll be interesting to see if it really affects them with the one-day change.
Oh, I think if you don't make a big deal to the players, it's not going to be a big deal. But at the same time, to the coaching staff, it still is a big deal because what you do is you have a normal mode of operation as to what you do, and it does shorten it up. So it does come into play.
Well, it's obviously a big game as far as where things stand in the Patriot League, but you know, Bucknell has not gotten a ton of respect nationally in the polls. Even though their record is what it is, and Fordham is right now a top 10 team in most of the FCS polls. So not only would a win, you know, kind of give them a good foothold and the lead in the Patriot League, but I think it would also get them a little bit of recognition nationwide because I don't think people realize how good this team is.
Well, CBS Sportsnet's going to have the game Friday night,
yes,
correct?
Yes, that's exactly right, yes.
Well, look, you're talking about FCS. And it's not as, for example, if I were to sit there and look at the national poll, Mississippi State's number one. I've seen them play twice on TV this year. The other night, Ole Miss, it's the third time I've seen them play on TV this year. I've seen Auburn play four times on TV this year. I've seen Ohio State play on TV four times this year. I've seen Michigan State play three times on TV this year. I can venture to say that the vast majority of pollsters haven't seen Bucknell play once this year. And I think that has something to do with it because with so many games on television in FBS, there are not as many games on TV for FCS. And that's why this game in a one-game-at-a-time format, in terms of national recognition, will have some importance to it because the nation will get a chance to see not only Bucknell, but also get to see the atmosphere and the setting of Mathewson Stadium and so forth. I think that will be great. We're joined by the head coach of the Bison, Joe Susan. Joe, congratulations on the win. Anything quickly on Robert Naylor before we get to the game itself?
Yeah, Robert's prognosis is very good. He taking him to Geisinger was the best thing that we could do. He's under great care, and his family, you know, obviously when something like that happens, everybody gets nervous because there's so much uncertainty, and you know, I think he's going to be okay, which is a good thing. I've been to the hospital Saturday night, Sunday night. I'll go again tomorrow night. And, you know, the support we've received throughout the Bucknell family has been outstanding, and his parents really appreciate that.
And that's the most important thing, because I know they are not just players to you. You love your players. So
you love your players. Sometimes you don't like them, but you love them.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. No, exactly what you mean. But he could not be in better hands as a parent who has had Geisinger save a son's life. I can tell you that Geisinger is the best place for him.
That's an amazing place. And it was funny. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in the waiting room with his parents the other day, and they have a robot that kind of dispenses medicine, I think. And the thing just going down the hall on its own. It takes a right turn. It's not real personal. I said hello to it, but it...
it usually tries to move you out of the way.
Yeah, zap me with a ray gun or something. Yeah.
What bothers me is you tried to give it a pep talk. All right. So, all right. The game itself, you find out things about a team when there is adversity. You put together a drive in the clutch. What did you see in the clutch from your football team that told you something about the inside?
Well, the most important thing is the confidence they have in themselves, but also with Trey Lauletta coming in, the confidence they have in him as a quarterback. And he made a run on a third down where they were playing man. And what happens when you play man, one of your first thoughts as a coach is, where does quarterback draw fit in? And we really didn't have it in the game for RJ Nitti, but it wound up looking like a quarterback draw, and he ran the sideline. He tiptoed the sideline, and I think some of the Lafayette players thought he was going to go out of bounds. He wound up with a 17-yard gain, and it progressed through the rest of that drive, and then the touchdown throw, they couldn't have been in a better pressure for us to throw that ball, because they were trying to cover. Jake Hartman was lined up as the inside receiver on trips to the right, and they were covering him with the middle linebacker who was disguising the pressure. And when the ball was snapped, the middle linebacker rushed to get out to cover the tight end, and then the double move worked, and Trey threw a heck of a pass.
Ends up being an A-play, 75-yard drive in the clutch that knocked 2:55 off the clock and forced overtime. You get to overtime. You want to be on defense first. You get two sacks out of your group in that moment. Tell us about what your defense did to then set the offense up to allow to have the door open to win the game.
Well, the first thing that happened was Lafayette had a false start. It makes it 1st and 15 from the 30. And then we put Demetrius Baldwin in as a defensive end. And instead of pocket protecting, they ran what we call a trap pass, where the right tackle blocked down, the left guard comes to pull and block Demetrius. He didn't even have a chance. Demetrius was on the quarterback. The way that set up, I thought it was going to be a sack fumble. And then we put in a coverage with the next sack where the quarterback had no place to go and he wound up slipping out, and then winds up being 4th and 25, and that's a good place to be in overtime. And you know, I kept telling my defensive staff that he doesn't need a touchdown, he needs a first down. You know, we have a last play of the game defense that we put in, but we wound up going with a regular defense, and Colin Jelinoff did a great job of covering a receiver who's got to be at least 5 inches taller than him, and wind up then with the ball. And we felt confident with our ability to run the football. And we got it to 4th and 1, and I know C.J. Williams wanted us to run give him the ball again. Derek Maurer has developed ice water going through his veins, and he hit it true, and what's unique about that celebration at the end, we had a young man that was not dressed for that game, got involved with the celebration. He got his front two teeth knocked out, which telling your mom and dad you got your teeth knocked out because of celebration, but he's okay. And one of the things that our players were good with is that the 24-hour rule changed because yesterday was Monday. And they came in yesterday. They're focused on doing what we have to do. Today is actually a Tuesday practice for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, time change makes things different. That unfortunately, my body clock never really adapts to the time change. So I was up at 4 again this morning, and even though it used to be 5. But excited about the next opportunity.
The next opportunity is going to be 6:30 on Friday night. You talked about the change with the players in routine. You try to keep things as normal for them as possible. They know it's Friday night. You as coaches, what does the compressed time do for you as to how you need to go about your business to make sure it is normal for them?
Well, what we did as a staff is we got ahead of some of the prep for Fordham. Obviously, that was facilitated because we had a home game last week, so we weren't spending time on the bus, so we had all of our technology that we needed. We got ahead of that, and it's a tribute to this staff. You know, I tell them an hour that they should be here. They're always here an hour and a half to 2 hours before that, and I try to chase them out of the office. That's hard to do, but the adrenaline of the next opportunity has led them. They're well prepared to present the game plan. Today is a first and second down day for our players, and we're excited about that. So, you know, our players have enough maturity to understand this opportunity. We've just in a lot of how they approach things, they take the lead from our staff, and we just, you know, they know the importance of this game, but they also know that it's the next game.
Fordham's coming off a 37-13 win over Colgate. They're obviously having a really good year. So, in a nutshell, some of the key matchups that your team needs to be aware of to move forward and make it a special Friday night.
I think the first one would be how our offensive line can play against their defensive line. Their defensive line is very talented. We aren't a sideways team, which a lot of the teams they play are. We did very well with that approach last year against basically the same team. And then their receivers are three of the better receivers we'll see, and how we not just match up, but how we can vary coverages to put some uncertainty in the quarterback's hands. Right now they have tentatively their second quarterback, Peter Matzold, but he's played a lot for them. He's a good player. He actually started as a freshman for them and played a lot in the game that we played against them last year. I understand that their starting quarterbacks, one of the better quarterbacks in the country, had a surgical procedure last week, and I doubt very much if he'll be back in time for the game this weekend.
Well, they certainly have, I mean, a wide range of targets, too, to Bucky Jones, Brian Wetzel, guys like that. The challenge for your secondary, what can your front do to aid your secondary on Friday night?
They can put pressure on the quarterback, and we're going to do that. You know, their protections are very similar to ours, so we know how to attack them. They don't do a lot in the way of five-man protection where, you know, they can't get double teams or they can't have the back chip. But our ability to move Demetrius around both inside and outside, because he challenges whoever he's rushing against, and it's hard to double team him when he's on the outside. Those things are going to be critical, and giving the quarterback a presentation of pressure and reducing his time frame and being able to vary our coverages, vary the leverage we have, and vary what we're doing, we will be a little bit more in terms of what people would consider nickel. That getting Ben Richard back after an injury that he had in the first game helps us with that. He a very good player, true freshman. He'll be on the field quite a bit in our nickel package. We don't even call it nickel, but I'm not going to tell you what we call it. And you know, it's being able to vary coverages. I think that's the most important thing, to put some put some uncertainty in the quarterback.
Well, thank you for the news about Robert Naylor, and congratulations on the win on Saturday night. To the next one, best of luck on Friday night with Fordham. It's a big game.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Kevin. And I appreciate your support of Robert, and I will let him know that you know, you guys are thinking of him, and his mom and dad are special people, and they understand that prayers help, and we've certainly been sending a lot of them their way. Thank you, guys.
You got it from us, too. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Yep. Bye.
Joe Susan, head football coach at Bucknell, 6:30. The airtime, 6 o'clock on Friday night, and looking forward to it very, very much.
And that will, by the way, be on Eagle 107 Friday night. Even though Selins Grove is in the playoffs, the Bucknell game will be on Eagle 107. The Seals-Shikellamy broadcast for the Selins Grove side will move to 94KX on Friday night.
Very nice. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. And today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Football is an incredible game. It's also a very tough, hard, physical game. Look at the Treadwell kid from Ole Miss, inches away from putting his team in a position to win the game. He suffers a broken leg, drops the ball, anybody would have. And he, you know, his season's done. He has a long recovery from that, and it was a gruesome injury, and Ole Miss lost the football game. Well, you look at Bucknell and Robert Naylor getting hurt, cannot be at a better place than the Geisinger Medical Center, and I will tell everyone that as someone who has personal experience as a father and what the Geisinger Medical Center has meant to me and my son in his lifetime, which is continuing at a wonderful level right now, and it would not be continuing at a wonderful level right now if it weren't for the great professionals at Geisinger. So Robert cannot be in better hands, and our prayers go out to him and to his family. At the same time, he would be proud of the guts that the football team that he plays on showed, the way they rallied, forced overtime, and then won in overtime. And now they are an 8-1 football team, and they've got Fordham coming up on Friday night at 6:30 at Mathewson in a game that will be on CBS Sportsnet. So it'd be awesome for everybody up and down the valley to get out there on Friday night and show the nation that Bucknell football is a force to be reckoned with, and that they have a great following and great crowds. We'll also talk a little bit about high school football, because there'll be some important high school football games on Friday night as well. Penn State's going to play at Indiana. It was a heartbreaking loss for the Nittany Lions on Saturday. They are close, very, very close. That's the problem in all this. After winning the close games early, Central Florida at Rutgers, they have hit this streak here where they're one possession short against Michigan. They're one possession short against Ohio State. They're one possession short against Maryland. We knew that this would be a tough season for Penn State football. We knew that. That's why everywhere I spoke, I made sure and understood that the, you know, the expectations, quote, have to be reasonable. I did not get up there and tell everybody they're going to be 10-2, 11-1. I didn't say any of that this year. I said that Bill O'Brien told me in 2012 that 14 was the year that worried him the most. And you can see why he felt that way. We had a very good question in the pregame show about a scholarship punter. Here's the problem. When you have, there's a domino effect to all this. When you have only 15 scholarships to deal with and you're paring the roster back, if you sit down and say, we should offer a scholarship to a punter, everybody in the room says, you know, that'd be a great idea, except the circumstances dictate we need to get scholarship players here, 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 and here. Maybe we can get a really good run-on punter that can help us. That's where the conversation goes because the numbers dictate that. There's another part of the sanction that enters into this. When the players were allowed to leave Penn State and play right away at another school, Anthony Farrah, with his mother not well, opted to transfer to Texas and play right away. When that happened, two things happened. Number one, they could not redshirt Sam Ficken, which was the plan. Which means Ficken would be the place kicker next year, too. So his senior season is now because they had to play him right away in a year he was going to redshirt. The other part, too, is that Alex Butterworth had to punt right away. So instead of having this year with a veteran punter back there, who may not be the greatest in the history of Penn State football, but certainly he had some more consistency as time went, you don't have him this year. So there is a domino across the board here that Penn State's had to deal with.